There's a lot that we don't know about Jesus. We don't know really what he looked like. We don't know what his voice sounded like. We don't really know about his family life. But we do know some things. And as it turns out, those are the most important things. First of all, we know that Jesus was a spiritual master with an elevated consciousness. Essentially, he was operating at several levels above the common person. And he wanted others to rise into that same level of consciousness. We know that he talked a lot about the kingdom of heaven, not as a place you go to when you die, but a realm that is within you and at hand, right here, right now. So the kingdom of heaven wasn't something that you die into, but something you awaken into. And finally, we know that Jesus was absolutely passionate about getting his message across, to help people live better lives, to live more harmonious, peaceful, happy lives. Well, he had his work cut out for him. Imagine trying to get poor, oppressed Jews who felt fearful, victimized, and powerless to believe in themselves, to get them to realize that they could completely change their reality by changing their way of thinking and being. And his was not a simple message. It was a difficult message often to grasp. And added on to that, he had to find a way to communicate it so that his listeners could understand, but at the same time stand under the radar screen of the Romans. Well, his most powerful tool for doing this was the parables. The parables, a distinctive trait of his teachings. And the parables were simple stories that incorporated everyday imagery that his listeners could relate to, at the same time turning all of their conventional thinking upside down. Often the parables were marked by surprising plot twists and unexpected outcomes. Jesus' parables were designed to shake his listeners up so much that they had to completely reconsider their old way of thinking. In fact, his parables have been referred to as spiritual hand grenades. That's something, isn't it? You gotta hand it to him. Well, the problem with that is that the parables were sometimes so mind-blowing that people didn't get it. they didn't understand, which must have been very frustrating for him. And so at some point, it seems, Jesus decided he was just going to boil it all down into one particular parable that would be foundational for all of the others. And that parable is the parable of the sower. It is said to be the key that unlocks the deeper meaning to all of the other parables. And we find it in the canonical Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and also in the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas, which tells us it has a pretty high probability that Jesus actually said this. So here's how it reads in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. When a great crowd gathered and people from town to town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." So what is this parable really about? Well, here is one interpretation. The sower represents us, right? We are sowers. We're not necessarily creating a field of crops, but we are creating our lives, just as we sang in the earlier song about being the thinker who thinks the thoughts that changes our reality. And our seeds are our potential. They are the possibilities within us, the possibilities to be more, to love more, to live better lives. And these seeds are sort of fueled by our inner urge to grow. You know, that's embedded in us from birth, that we have this urge to grow, to be more, to be all that we can be. And just as the farmer needed to be wise about where he planted his seeds, we need to be wise about where we sow our dreams and possibilities. And the very first and most vital step is to set our intention. Now, you may have noticed in the parable that it didn't sound like the sower was being very intentional, does it? It sounds a little bit like he's throwing his seeds here, there, and everywhere, and maybe just hoping something will land in some fertile ground. Well, actually, that is pretty true to how farmers would sow their crops in ancient Galilee. So rather than planting seeds in the neat straight rows that we do today, the farmer would get a sack full of seed, and he would scatter it around on the land, walking around, basically just sort of throwing it by the handful. We hear that and we think, well, gosh, that sounds pretty wasteful, doesn't it? Especially in this parable. Yeah, and it was. Think about it. In the parable, let's imagine that it was split 1/4 for each place it landed. The farmer sent some on the hard path, and the birds took it or ate it. Another 1/4 went onto the rock, couldn't grow. Another 1/4 went into the thorns and the weeds and got smothered out. That's 75% of his effort was wasted, and 75% of the seeds. Only 25% landed in the fertile soil. So what is this telling us? It's telling us that we need to be mindful and intentional about where we place our intention. We need to be focused on what we most want. The reality is, if we aren't intentional, if we don't focus and commit to what we most want in our lives or the way that we want to grow, all of our great ideas, all of our great thoughts just sit there like they did on the path. They disappear, they dissipate, or if we're not really serious about it, we find that all of our past negative thinking, I'm no good, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, all that stuff, basically keeps them from growing. Or we find that we succumb to people around us who don't believe in us, right? Who don't cheer us on, and the next thing you know, they've just completely smothered our dream. But when we set our intention, it's when we set our intention and we focus our attention on it, and we fill our mind with positive thoughts and we surround ourselves with supportive people, then our highest possibilities and our fondest dreams can take root and grow. You know, our intention, I think of it this way, our intention is like a laser beam. Think about it. You are powerful, creative, spiritual beings. You have all this power within you. And when you focus your intention, it's like that power getting channeled and focused, zapping into exactly what you most want. And suddenly that's your priority, right? You're going to make this happen. And that creates a shift in you that brings to bear all of your 12 powers, all of the wonderful, glorious, divine gifts within you. And not only that, but it changes the energy around you, does it not? Have you not seen this? People around you begin responding. The entire universe seems to conspire to assure your success. And amazing things happen. So let's use a pertinent example from today. Suppose you are one of the millions of Americans who put on a few pounds during the pandemic. Right? And now, well, here we are, right? We're all coming back out into the world. Yeah, soon it will be swimsuit season. And you're thinking, okay, all right, it's time to take care of this problem. Maybe you say something to yourself like, I have to stop eating junk food and get more exercise. Terrific. But if you don't do anything, if you don't actually do that and commit to it, what happens? Nothing. You don't get any results. It's like all those great insights, all those, you know, lofty dreams you had, they went nowhere. It's like they fell on the hard ground, just like on the path. They dissipated and disappeared. Poof, that's the end of that. Or maybe this. Maybe you begin thinking about your brand spanking new you and how you're going to be all fit and everything, and then you find that all these negative old tapes start showing up in your consciousness. Oh my gosh, I've never been able to lose weight before. It's not going to happen this time. You know, it's my metabolism. It's my big bones. It's my parents. It's the pandemic. This will never work. And what happens? Your dream just fell on the rocks. It just fell on the rocks. It can't take root and grow. Or this. You have your kind of thinking you're on your way. You're starting to get a little impetus going there, and you find that you have some not so helpful people around you who are saying things like this. Really? You look fine to me. Here, have a piece of cake. Or, really? You think you're going to lose that weight? You've never done that before. Hey, maybe it's time to do a little weeding in your circle of contacts there. Because otherwise, that sort of negative influence will completely smother this pure, exciting, divine intention that you have for yourself. This same formula, this same process applies whether we're talking about getting in shape and getting healthier, or whether we're talking about starting a new business or starting a meditation practice, taking up golf, you know, wanting to start meditating more and feel closer to God. It's the same process, because this is how you channel that power within you and make real important change happen in your life. And we have to imagine that Jesus maybe offered this parable at a time when he was getting maybe just a teeny bit fed up with people. Oh, you know, I have told you this. When are you going to put it into practice? When are you going to use that power within you? It's right there for you. So what he offers here in his effort to be very clear and direct is a pretty simple formula. First, if we truly want our lives to improve, if we want to grow in some way, we must commit to it 100% and give it our focused energy and attention. Just like if you had decided you wanted to get in better shape, listen, you know what it's like when you get serious about this. You know what it's like. That's when you're planting your seed in fertile ground. It's when you're saying, I'm doing this. I am doing this. Heart, mind, soul, I am on it. This is going to happen. You take all the right steps to set yourself up for success, and you're on your way, and amazing things happen. No matter what the goal is, that's how it works. The first step, set your intention. Second, we must notice when old negative thoughts begin to creep in and do something about them. Have you ever heard of the expression, a pattern interrupt? Correct. When you start hearing those, you have to be aware enough to notice what you're telling yourself, what's starting to creep in. And rather than indulging that, just keep putting your attention back on your intention. Just keep coming back to it. And third, we must find fertile ground by associating with supportive people who share our positive outlook, like all of our wonderful friends here at Unity Renaissance. Because if we set our intention and we nurture it with love and care, we'll get more than good results, and Jesus tells us this in the parable. We'll get results a hundredfold, amazing things. You know, last January, I decided to grow some indoor plants. This was, I don't want to say a desperate attempt, but this was an attempt to bring more life into the home as the pandemic continued. And so I got urban garden stuff, and I planted a few seeds. Some of you may remember this. I showed this slide in January. This is what my little seedlings looked like in January, being the little sower. And I had the dream that we would have a garden in our backyard as the weather got warmer. I put those things in fertile ground. I mothered them somewhat obsessively. And now, this is how it looks. So these on the left are the seedlings that you just saw. And this is the amazing, can you tell that's a homemade structure that Richard created? But it's fabulous. And the same thing, just hold that image in your life of what is possible for you. Really, Can you imagine your fondest dream, whatever you're thinking of today? Man, I really want this to happen in my life. I feel that energy in me. I'm going to plant that seed. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to create the conditions to succeed. That's, I think, what a hundredfold looks like. You know, it sounds like a lot of work, perhaps, to set an intention and to keep nurturing it, to make this a priority. But honestly, the truth is that it is so much harder to live with negative thoughts, with self-defeating thoughts, to have this vague sense that there's more to life than we're experiencing, to know on some level that we can be more and do more and live more fully, but we're not doing it. And nothing raises your energy, your passion, your zeal, your satisfaction, like you and your life becoming more than they have ever been. So be a wise sower. Commit to your heart's desire. Don't let it go by the wayside. Don't let it be smothered by your negative thoughts or those of others. That inner urge to grow in you is there for a reason. It is meant to be fulfilled. That is your calling. That is your destiny. That is the very life of God in you. So give it your focus. Give it your love. Give it everything it needs to flourish. And then, my friends, reap the bounty 100-fold. 100-fold. Those with ears to hear, let them listen. Now let's turn to our meditation. Let's just take a moment to take a deep breath in and let it go. Another time, a deep breath in and release. Just tuning in to your own breathing. Feeling this great sense of peace wash over you. Spirit is moving in and through you this very moment, soothing the hurt places, providing shelter, urging you on. I invite you to bring into your heart and mind whatever you are feeling called to these days, whatever intention you might like to set for yourself, something that perhaps has been tugging at your heart or moving through your mind that causes that sort of uptick in energy and excitement within you. Beautiful energy of God being stirred up within you. Imagine the hundredfold bounty being reaped as you plant this intention with all of your focus and commitment, with your dedication and determination. You feed it with your positive knowing of the greatness in you. Love and support of others. Imagine stepping out into the world this very day and taking those first steps to plant this seed of your divine possibilities and see them take root and grow. Imagine it in your mind's eye for a few moments in the silence. thanks for the knowing of how loved and blessed we are. We give thanks for this beautiful presence of God within us. It's always opening up new opportunities, showing us the way, giving us all the tools we need to transform our lives. Today we say to that, yes, God, yes. And so it is, so we let it be. Amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be.